Hello everyone, thanks for listening to another episode of the Player Development First podcast. This is episode 11 with Phil Philippou. Myself and Phil met each other back in 2015 when we were both working for UK Elite Soccer. Since then, Phil has went to the University of Real Madrid studying a Master's in Football Studies. He then stayed in Spain and is now working as the Methodology Director for Alicante City FC. He is also a coach there and works in along with their under-19s, 23s and first team groups. Phil also has a Instagram page called Books for Coaches, where he highlights different books that would be beneficial not only for soccer development but for growth mindset, self-development in general. So check it out. Thanks very much for listening to another episode, guys. Hey, Phil, thanks very much for coming on the podcast today, mate.
Oh, thanks very much. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, mate. Well, with all my guests, I like to just go back to the start with them, mate. So whereabouts did you grow up, Phil? And how did you get involved in soccer?
So I grew up in South London, a place called Croydon. Come from a family that came over from Cyprus. The biggest influence in my football career. More so obviously coaching rather than playing, but yeah, the one that got me started was my dad. He was mad about football. He was the one that did all the Sunday morning drives in the freezing cold and the wet and rainy and windy marshes. He's the one that sacrificed all his weekends for me, to be honest.
What was your local club? Was it is it Crystal Palace around that area?
So Crystal Palace. I grew up about a 15-minute walk from Selhurst Park, and my dad took me to first game when I was three. Obviously, I couldn't see anything. People just jumping up and screaming, and I think it ended in tears from my end. But I think at that point, my dad was getting worried that football wasn't going to be for me. But I was lucky enough. And then I've just played for a few local teams, really. Okay. I imagine around 7-8 years old, and stayed with one club in particularly, Coney Hall, until I was about 16. Played for the senior reserves at 15. Then went to Farley Rovers, who was combined counties. I'll say it's probably the highest, as high as I went. I said to you just before we started this, me talking about this after having Stu Hart and with all his Bristol Rovers and other clubs like this, I can't really compete.
Absolutely. So how did you get into the coaching?
So I think I was 16 at the time. I went to college, which obviously for the American listeners it's a bit different. It's over here it's where you go 16 to 18 before you go to university. And it was a coaching course, basically. So we worked with a few schools. And then I, growing up, I used to go to Crystal Palace's community scheme, I'm sure you guys know as well, where they're going to schools, or you can just have like clubs, and it's like a foundation. So I got in contact with my old coach there, and he said, obviously you don't have much experience, you're only 16, but, come over and, see how you get on. And, that's where it started, really. 16 years old and coaching kids at Crystal Palace's community scheme for a few years before I went to university.
So did you go to university in England?
In Wales, It used to be University of Glamorgan, which is now the University of South Wales. And I was really lucky there, actually. So it was a sports coaching and performance degree, and I was lucky enough to get a placement in Cardiff City's academy. So when I was 19, I got a chance to work with Cardiff City's academy, quite a few age groups, but mostly the under-10s at the time. I also did a bit of work with the older age groups as well. And I think at that time it was players like Aaron Ramsey that were coming through as well. So, it was a really good experience, and you just get a different feel when you go into professional clubs, that professionalism, those high standards.
The facilities, even I'd done my UFB at that location with Wales, and it was
I
an
think I
amazing.
actually did it with you, if I'm not
Did you? Yeah,
mistaken.
that's you probably did. Sorry, but that was a brilliant location, mate. And I thought the instructors were great as well. Gil was his name.
Craig
Craig Gill.
Gill.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
It was.
Brilliant. He was a lecturer there as well, I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah, after I left.
Okay, sorry. So you were in and around Cardiff City's academy. At what stage then? Because obviously me and you, we crossed paths with UK Elite in 2015. So how did you get out to the States then?
So initially, so UK Elite had a partnership, or I don't know if that's the right word, but they had a link with the University of Glamorgan, which is, I guess, why we did our UEFA there as well. So they just came in and pitched to all us coaches, and this is what we got. So yeah, one of the summers in between, I think between my first and second year, I went over to the States for the first time, just for the summer period. That's where it kind of began. That I thought, yeah, this is a bit for me. It's like I think I coaching in the UK at one point where I was just standing and I was just had soggy socks, sideways rain hitting me. I thought this would be the best job in the world if it was in the sunshine. So I think that's when it kind of hit me that, yeah, maybe the US would be for me.
100%. So you done a summer, and then you must did you do like a the longer stay after that then?
Yeah, so after I graduated, I did a year working back in England again with Crystal Palace's foundation, and also working. I got a placement working in Crystal Palace's academy as well. So it's good to see. Again, I got quite lucky with the players that were coming through. At Cardiff at the time, like I was saying, Aaron Ramsey, and then see Crystal Palace at the time. We had Wan-Bissaka and Wilfried Zaha coming through. So. I was quite fortunate to see kind of those players in the beginning stages of the journey.
Yeah, unbelievable, mate. Yeah. And so how did that differ from the coaching you were doing then in the US? Was going from academy level, what sort of coaching then were you doing in the US?
Yeah, so I mean to get to I didn't even answer your question there before, did I? So to get to the States, it was a case of I was working for Crystal Palace's Academy and also Kinetic Academy as well, who were in their infancy, and they've produced unbelievable amount of players who play in the Premier League now. Joe Rebo, I think Jadon Sancho was there at one point as well. But it was just too much, to be honest. I think that's probably a common coaching problem when you're trying to do get as many hours as you can, and it was one of those leaving the house at 7 a.m. getting back at 10 p.m. And then yeah, I kind of thought about the US again. I thought again the lifestyle, the hours were good as well, where you feel like you can have enough energy to really give your best. So yeah, I got back in touch with UK Elite, with Broadie, Andrew Goulburn, and yeah, I did my first 9 month stint, and yeah, that was
Brilliant.
it.
I just was thinking there, like how was it seeing the likes of like Wilfried Zaha, Wan-Bissaka in a session? Like what were they like at what age would they have been? Like 14 or whatever? Like how were they in a session?
So I mean I mostly worked with the younger ones, under sevens, under eights at that time, but I just wanted to get as much exposure to that kind of culture as possible, so I did some voluntary sessions with the old ones as well. I think Wan-Bissaka must have been under 12s, and Zaha was a few years older, maybe under 15s, under 16s. To be honest, neither one of them really stood out at the time. I think Wan-Bissaka was even a striker at that point, so and it
And
wasn't
how their development sort of over the those sort of years, just some people are like the talented whispers I've heard before people say before, and then others it's just like it's clear as day,
yeah, absolutely.
you
Yeah,
know.
yeah. I mean, I heard the same with so it was before I was there, but Victor Moses, he was the one where everyone knew he was gonna make it to the top. But yeah, I say Wan-Bissaka and Zaha, there wasn't. I heard a story whilst I was there. I don't know how true it was, but out under 16s, I think Zaha was actually going to get released, but it was only because of an injury of another striker that he got his chance again. And yeah, the rest is history, as they say. A year later, he got his debut for the first team.
Unbelievable, mate. I know that's the way it goes sometimes, isn't it? But so
Yeah.
you've been out to UK Elite then, and you, so did, what sort of coaching were you doing there on a weekly basis? Were you working with, was it like academy level teams? Was it older teams, high schools? What did that look like for you?
So yeah, it was travel teams. So I was living in Connecticut and working in Edgemont in Scarsdale, New York. So yeah, I was working with two teams, U10, U12 girls. And to be honest, I absolutely loved it. You know, I still, I think I sent out like a mass email to the parents about a year ago, just seeing how everyone was and you know what their how the girls were getting on. And this is, you know, it's one of those groups. I'm sure a lot of coaches have had that you just never forget. You know, you have fond memories about it.
100%, mate. Brilliant. And so you've did you at what point did you then decide that you weren't going to come back to the States and you were going to pursue more education? Was that at the end of that year?
Yeah. So I think the plan was I was actually going to go back, but I think my grandma at the time was ill, so it was one of those. You know, the States is great, but it's a bit too far to just pop back, and you know, every now and then. So I just looked for other options. I knew again going back to the weather being a big factor for me. I thought, where could I go? And there's actually someone that was at UKLE. I think I did a couple of summer camps in Seattle with them, Richard Knox. He was telling me about a degree he did with the Real Madrid University, a master's degree. I thought, that sounds perfect. You know, I always wanted to learn another language, and I never felt like I was quite done with education either. So I thought, all right, let's go for it. And then, yeah, that was the next year of my life.
So you went to Madrid then, to study. And what was the title of the master's called?
So like I said, the short version was Masters in Football. So it was a lot about long-term athlete development, but then also on the scouting side, team structures. So it worked a lot on a lot of different angles. So we had a lot of guest lecturers come in from the academy manager of Dynamo Zagreb at the time. We got to go to Holland to spend a week with Ajax, PSV, AZ Alkmaar. We had Anderlecht come over as well. So yeah, we just got so many different angles of how things work. And you know, if anything, it's kind of an eye opener that there isn't just a one way fits all. There's lots of completely contrasting different ways that a football club can work, and it's not right or wrong, it's just different.
Is there any of those experiences that really stick out for you? If it's a lecture or was it like going to a study visit, is there one that really sticks out?
Yeah, surprisingly, AZ Alkmaar. Actually, being at UKLE, Tim Bradbury, he kind of got me into growth mindset. So I think he introduced us to Bounce, the book. I don't remember that, with Matthew Say. And yeah, and then that kind of led to me being obsessed with growth mindset. And I'm sure if any of my players are listening now, they'll tell you that's right. But at AZ Alkmaar, the head of academy there was actually one of the students of Carol Dweck, who termed the growth mindset. So he based the whole academy on a growth mindset from every little detail, and it was just like, oh, this is home for me. This was so it was good to see. It was just so different to the other ones. And obviously you think of the big Dutch clubs, you know, Feyenoord, PSV, Ajax. They had a quarter of the budget, yet they were named Academy of the Year 3 years in a row. I'm not sure if that's exactly correct, but if it was three or four. But yeah, it was just the vibe around it. It was just all based towards learning the process, improvement, as opposed to just results.
And so did they have a certain game model that you guys were exposed to as well, or was it just more so that the growth mindset that was implemented throughout the academy, or what did?
Yeah, so it was all based around the growth mindset, and it was very holistic. Obviously, yeah. It had very much the Dutch model, as it would, as you can imagine, the total football kind of that kind of model. But it seemed like from the outside that was very much secondary to the players' development psychologically as much as it was from the footballing ability.
Fantastic, mate. Okay. Right. Look, sounds such an interesting course. And so did you decide then when you were there, or did you have other opportunities to coach when you were arrived in Madrid? How did you end up staying in Spain?
Madrid was one of those ones where I think about it now. I think how did I manage to do that? I was doing the master's course, and then I was trying to learn Spanish as well at the same time. I was coaching a club called FC Britannicos, who play like in the non-league system over there, where a lot of their players are Brits, Americans, Canadians, that have gone over there. Most of them were teachers teaching English in Madrid, but good level players. So I was coaching them. Obviously, my Spanish wasn't good enough at that point to coach in Spanish. And I was also, as well as that, I was doing some youth coaching with Premier Football, who were quite a new program. So I helped them in making their curriculum and the player development model.
Yeah.
I got a good amount of coaching there. And then obviously after the year, the course was finishing. And I thought, I've got to stay out here. So it was one of those very Hail Mary, send as many emails as I could, all around Spain. And I was lucky enough that one of the people responded. He said, in Alicante, we're going to start up a new little project. We're not sure how it's going to go. We're going to do like a little 3-month tester, see if it's worth pursuing.
Okay.
Did that, and here we are 6 years later.
And so what was the company call that you went to with in Alicante?
So at the time it was Soccer Smart Academy. It's since changed name now. So basically the first year was players from around the world come over, experience playing in Spain. We trained every day, so it's living like a pro. And then if they're good enough, we'll try and find them some trials for local clubs, or Soccer Smart, the company, also specialise in sending players to Australia and the US college system. It was a way of giving them full-time training, and then, if we can get you to a certain level, let's see what your next step is. And then after a year, we thought, well, why not start our own club? Give them another opportunity, give them an opportunity to actually play competitive games, not just friendly matches. So after that first year, we started Alicante City, which at first was a kind of a part-time project, trained 3 nights a week. We had one team only. First year we got promoted. So
So,
that was good, a nice little mixture
unbelievable. So,
of.
what tier would that have been? Sorry,
So that would be seventh tier,
seventh
seventh
tier.
tier.
That's fine. Okay.
It was great though, because we had players from around the world, and then we also had a lot of Spanish players as well. I mean, at centre back we had an 18-year-old from Liverpool, and alongside him we had a 49-year-old who played in La Liga, and who
Wow.
was probably the best player in the league. So
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the 18-year-old, his development just skyrocket, just playing alongside that player. So it was really, really good to watch. And then after that first year, because we got promoted over here in Spain, obviously the reserve system's a bit different. You can have a B team in the senior leagues.
Yeah.
So once we got promoted, we created a B team, or under 23s as we call it, and we created an under 19s team. That's where we are now, 5 years on. Still trying to get promotion to the next league now, but it's a tough league to get out of.
Sure, yeah. Are you with are you coaching with all three teams, or are you specialized with one of those three teams, the 19s or the 23s or the first team?
So my job role is director of methodology. So I work mostly with the players that come from abroad. Again, most of those players are from the US, Canada, UK, but then we've also got players from Kuwait, we've got players from Ghana. So you get a bit of everything. So those players that come over, they're my own main responsibility.
Okay. What would your role entail with head of the methodology? What would you do on with the players? Do you explain the different processes and how you do things?
So it's more developing the culture within the group. They all live together, which is again right across the road from where they train. So yeah, it's developing that and just making sure that they come away from the experience with tools that they can use for life. Again, kind of probably influenced from the AZ-Alkmaar model, where I don't just want to we don't just want to make them better players. We want to give them, mental skills that they can use away from football, because obviously the challenge of living and playing abroad is, you obviously you, that comes with a lot of challenges where they are going to be tested mentally. They're not always going to feel excited. They're going to have homesickness. So yeah,
So
that'd be my day to
it's
day.
just I'm just thinking there. I mean, I've seen some of the photos of your facilities. They look absolutely fantastic. But to be living alongside other players and have that experience as a young pro or aspiring pro, I feel like that's such a growth opportunity for if it's a 3 month gig or for if it's a season. I feel like that would be something that would just, enhance development.
Yeah, and I'm lucky enough as well to coach the under 19s too. So I can have more on field stuff with them, whilst, when the under 23s and the first team are training, I can kind of just look at it from the outside. So it's quite a nice balance.
Brilliant. And so what would you say the club methodology is? I know you've mentioned some of the growth mindset there. Do you guys, I guess what I was wanting to know more about is there a sort of with it being a Spanish club, is there a lot of obviously there's a lot of cult like a lot of cultural differences, but with your club being having a lot of maybe British expats or some international players, is there a certain methodology culturally that you guys have that you should try and implement throughout the club?
This was a tough decision to make for my part, to be honest. Ideal situation, right? All three teams play exactly the same. But the truth being told, the under 23s, under 19s, majority of them are only there for 1 year. So it's working towards the players and the team's strength. I know some clubs are adamant, right? All three teams are going to play 4-2-3-1. And that was a bit of a wake-up call for me, where, right, I want to play 4-2-3-1. It turns out I've got five amazing midfielders. I've got no wingers. So, right, let's play a midfield diamond then, And so, on our non-negotiables, one of the things, there's just one thing I'll make clear to the coaching staff at the beginning of the season, that, work to your strengths, for your team strengths, as well as your own coaching philosophy. But one thing that is a bit of a non-negotiable is when the players lose the ball, they must fight to get it back. So if we go into our philosophy, teamwork, responsibility, and doing the things that you don't want to do, even doing the right thing instead of the easy thing, that all implements into that one action. So yeah, in that short answer, it's that it's there's more principles as opposed to playing methodology.
But I like you've said before, I mean, with all your experiences as well, you've been around multiple clubs, and like you already mentioned earlier on, mate, was that there's not one right or wrong way to do things, right? And sometimes I guess when it is an experience where you guys from what I gather, you just want to get promotion, you just want to get up the leagues, you've got to be working to your strengths, right? You've got to be working to your but you're right, having those non-negotiables with the work ethic, with the organization piece and the pressure to get it back. I feel like that's you've got your standards and you've got your way of doing things. But yeah, again, you've got to look to see what sort of players. If you've got no wingers, you're not going to be playing.
Yeah,
Exactly, mate. That's great to hear. That was interesting for me to hear. Is there, I guess, apart from the obvious is ones like, but is there like, I've never coached obviously in Spain. I've never coached anywhere really apart from UK, Ireland, and the US. I suppose a little bit in Korea, but that was kind of different. What's the real cultural difference around the practices? or maybe the playing style. Obviously, we know that. But what's it like? What's the cultural differences? Would you say, even if it's just a brief one? You know, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I always say for players that come over, it takes them about 3 months to adapt to match days, because it is a ma the match day experience is completely different. The referees, it's different rules. You know, tackles that you could sort of go in and you think that's a great tackle, whistle will go, could get a yellow card. And you know, the players get frustrated and they moan about how it is, but at the end of the day, Spain isn't going to change for us. We're the ones that have got to adapt to that, to the game. But yeah, that's without a doubt the biggest cultural shock that I had, and the players do as well when they come over.
Physicality elements,
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
And what about this sort of within a practice? What would a typical Alicante FC practice that you run, what would it entail?
So I'm really lucky that the guy that coaches with me, he's studying now, and he's studying coaching and doing his final badges, and so he's a lot more up to date than I am, even though I've probably got 10 years more experience. I'm absolutely learning from him because he's got the most up to date information, and it's very much, as you can imagine, the Spanish philosophy, rondos. Possession, depending on the day, but rondos and possession will pretty much be the warm up. So they use possession as a warm up, and then attack v defense, and then yeah, games or set pieces.
Brilliant, man.
Yeah, but like I said, each coach, you know, we don't want to take we want them to have their individuality and have their coaching philosophy as well. So you know, the 23s and the first team. It's similar, but there is a lot of differences too.
100%, man. And are you gonna do any more coaching licenses yourself, or any other aspirations to do any more?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those. My boss was saying that he wanted to get me through my A license, and then COVID hit. It was one of those ones. So it seems like at the moment they're not really taking international coaches and a lot of the ones that I saw, but. You know, it's definitely, you know, it's a job where you have to stay up to date, isn't it? Otherwise, the game just leaves you behind.
The current trends and everything, 100%, mate. Have you heard of any of the TOEFL courses out there? I've been interested in maybe doing some of those.
Yeah, that's Todd Bean up in Barcelona way. I've spoken to him a couple of times. Yeah, I really like what he's doing. Obviously, I think he's Johan Cruyff's son-in-law or something like that. So he's yeah. So he uses a lot of that kind of philosophy, and yeah, definitely want to do one
Listen
of
to a
those
couple
too.
of podcasts to him. He's fantastic. Yeah, but I'd really be interested to see what their course structure is like, and get more into that. So another thing that I wanted to ask you about, because that I thought was really interesting when we were just talking before off air, was that you've just started to roll out some mindset and confidence coaching programs. Would you give me a little bit of background about how you got into that and what it would look like for players that you would be mentoring?
Yeah, so I'm in a unique situation where my office is also where the players live. So I get a lot of time with them, and it was kind of one of those kind of eureka moments thinking about what I really love doing. And although I do like being on the grass, one thing I really love is having those one-on-one conversations with the players, and you know, helping them through their journey and helping them through struggles. And obviously, one of the biggest one. The reason I call it confidence and mindset coaching is confidence tends to be one of the biggest issues. But also, you know, for people that are lacking confidence, but also the ones that want to get to that next level and have that elite confidence. So yeah, we do quite a few one-on-one sessions, and you know, it's just an hour of pretty much mentoring, or I like to say it's like life coaching, but in from a football sense, you know. So yeah, it's going through the problems and issues, and some of them, like I said, it's not even problems. It's like, I want to get to that next level. You know, it's like having a fitness coach. You know, if you're at peak fitness, would you stop doing fitness? course not. You still want a coach to maintain, and that's how we see it from the mindset side. So yeah, it's usually an hour session,
And
and
you do that
it's
for all your
more.
players at the club, sorry?
So yeah, I have it open to players at the club if they want to do it, and also external players as well. And yeah, it's more of them as well finding out for themselves, and it's just using a lot of questioning. And at the end of the day, we can give advice. It's like coaching kids as well, isn't it? You can give advice, but at the end of the day, if you're using question and answer, they come up with them themselves. They get a whole different experience from it.
I think that's amazing. I think with you doing it with your own players as well, especially those that maybe are coming from an international situation or from the UK, living away from home. I mean, that's a big challenge, just on its own. But then you throw in the dynamics of trying to win your first team place, or confidence on the field, confidence off the field. I feel like just having that avenue just to go down to be able to talk to someone, even just on a but someone that actually also is a great coach and can help them in that. It's not just like if you're talking to maybe like a counselor or something like that, and you're talking to them and you're giving them, but they don't know your actual career field or whatever, but you're actually, well, you're part of the club as well, you're helping them, and they've got that meeting to go to. I think that's an amazing thing, for any but club. I'm sure they have it at professional clubs, but for you to offer that on a personal basis and to help other players out, I think it's amazing, mate. And so is the plan to do that on a larger scale, or are you just happy to do it within your club right now, or what's the
Absolutely. In a larger scale, I mean, it's why we coach, isn't it? It's to help people. So yeah, I'm lucky enough to do it with players externally from the club as well. But I mean, hit the nail on the head there. It's just giving them that something extra, and I'm lucky enough to see it from players come in over 6 years. So you can have that empathy from them. You know what struggles they're going to go through, and we try and prepare them as much as possible for those as well. That, at the beginning, you're going to be excited, you're going to want to do all the extras. But especially when you're not used to training 4 times a week and then playing match days, that can become mentally draining as well. And you're going to go through a bit of a lull. Around Christmas time, you're probably going to get homesick. So we do try and do a bit of a pre-op, if you want to call it that. That is, this is what could happen, but most probably will happen.
I mean, yeah, mate. Again, I was going to go on to the just your coaching aspirations for the future, but I'm always like kind of wary about whenever I'm talking to people on the podcast, I'm maybe asking them this, and they're going, "Yeah, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot with my current employer or something like that." But is there anything that even within your own situation right now at Alicante City FC, or is there anything that you would maybe potentially like to do in the future, just for toxic? Or is there anything that is there any do you want to coach at a first team? Would you like to coach at a certain level or attain more qualifications? Is there anything in your plans for the future for in relation to coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a youth football background, and that's where my love is. I love what I do now, but yeah, there's nothing like youth coaching, in my opinion. So I'd love to. It's something that so you know an aspiration for the club as well to have their own youth academy. Obviously, we've got the three teams now, but the lowest it goes is under 19s. So, I'd love to build it up, be part of it to build it up from under eights upwards and have a real psychological view of it, and give them those tools, especially, the increase in mental health issues and things like this, and giving them the tools from a young age, where it's going to help them, and not just from a footballing point of view.
Right, I mean, yeah. So, is that have you got any plans right now to roll out an academy or begin to at the club?
Yeah, there has been discussions. It's still a while off yet, I think. But it is very much a long-term goal for the club.
Okay. Are you guys in close vicinity? I just thought about this to the other Alicante that's in the, is are they in the Premier?
Which team's that?
Is another La Liga team?
So the biggest team around here is Hercules.
Hercules, okay, sorry.
They won La Liga probably around 10 years ago. Players like David Trezeguet
That's
and
right.
Noel
Yep.
Pomaréu, but they've been dropping down the leagues quite a bit now. I think they're fourth tier now.
Right.
And then there's another team that's started recently called Intercity, and now flying up the leagues. They recently played Barcelona in the Copa del Rey. I think they lost 4-3.
You still get to go
So
to your, I was just going to ask you, you still get to go to any any La Liga games or anything like that? Is there do you get to go and watch some soccer, or are you
it's been a while actually. It's been a while.
yeah.
About 3 years ago, I went to. I've got a friend who works in Villarreal, so I got tickets from her, and so went to Villarreal, Barcelona. So I saw Messi in
Unbelievable.
his prime, which was great. But yeah, it's the closest one around here is probably Valencia, which is about 2 hour drive away.
Yeah, mate, a bit of a distance. So mate, well, just one last thing. I seen that it was, I mean, I follow it. I've been following it for a while. I wish I had the time to read more, or even just get to some of them on audiobooks. But you do a page on Instagram called Books for Coaches. And it's just all the books that you've read, and you give a bit of a review on them. Is there any books that you've read recently that you'd recommend coaches to read?
I mean, so you probably know from the page, it's not just about football or sport in general, but it's other books that can really influence your coaching. I think one of the ones I just read now was Think Like a Monk, I think it's called, by Jay Shetty. And it's brilliant. And it's not only about developing yourself and all the things you hear, staying current, staying in the moment, staying present, but it's also helping others do the same, which is effectively what we do. And really resonates with coaches, I think, where it says, when something that makes you want to lose your emotions,
Understand.
anger, and so how to just manage that. And I think it just helps you live a better life, really. So that's probably the latest one I've read, and
That's
interesting. I'm re
like
re
one that you would recommend for, is there one of your favorites that you'd recommend everyone to read?
so I mean, there's two that I would say have impacted my life massively. The first one was Mindset by Carol Dweck, which I recommended,
Yeah.
which I said about earlier. Which without reading that book, I'd 100% not be here. I was very much a below average student at school. Did French for 5 years at school, and I can't remember what I got, a D or an E. I didn't pass. So, having a fixed mindset before was, I'm just not good at languages. But then after reading that, it kind of gave me the foundation to get out of my comfort zone and be over here speaking Spanish. And so that's probably my number one. And then the second one that kind of reignited the fire for me about a year ago. So I was getting through that burnout stage. 5 AM Club by Robin Sharma, which is brilliant. But yeah, so many. I mean, I think from a coach's point of view, anything by John Wooden
Okay.
is very player centered, and even though it's from a basketball point of view, it's very relative to what we do.
Brilliant, mate. Well, mate. Phil, just want to say thank you so much for coming on today, talking about your career, where you're going with it, your mindset coaching, your aspirations for the future of everything about Alicante City FC. Mate, wish you all the best. And honestly, I feel like you're a bit of an inspiration to coaches too, that there's not just one way to go about things. And if you want to go and coach in another country, and learn a language and getting completely immersed in the culture and the coaching, I think you're a great inspiration, mate. So congrats on your success so far. I wish you all the best for this season. And yeah, thanks very much for coming on.
No, thank you very much. You're doing something great for all coaches here. Just listening to your other podcasts as well. There's always a learning point to take away.
Thanks very much, mate. Well, thank you for coming on, mate. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye.